Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Thanks so much for joining again today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Malos to govante, los to govalanda, catis to govala, mandeca posta capala, shantamazon papala, carista capala, take a posta capilla zondostum. Anamazon papanamazon pats taken tinas of valles, take a palandis to govana, the campanis to contidos and dios. Ye capo taki rosta gavidas, take a vida, take a mandas, tagabolas and to machinda. Leon da cantina stoko valens and da stoko valena mana mana shanta dandi akita stoko valena masanta 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 stoko vina masa papa nasa papa nanti stoko to God. Amen, amen. Sorry, can you hear me? Is it clear? Let me know if you can hear me, please. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank you for another moment to receive of you this evening. We pray for comprehension, we pray for insight to your word, we pray for understanding for everyone that will be listening tonight. In the name of Jesus, we say our love work becomes better, the purpose of your church becomes better known to us. We receive your word with meekness, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, I believe hope is clear from everywhere you have been, you are listening. Amen, 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 amen. Glory, glory, glory. Okay, yes, I call this the teaching ministry of Jesus. We just go straight into the topic today, please. This should be part seven, yes. Okay, don't forget, like I love to say, I'm sorry, before I start, sorry, there's not enough, there was not enough notice today, as if it will be holding, but I expect you guys to just be looking forward to it, be looking forward to moments like this. We couldn't do that on Saturday evening because of the awesome people coming from Jos Sunday, of course, busy people are writing exam. And small sense, hope your exam was fine. And Hilary, Joshua, and the folks in Kaduna, awesome people. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for everything you do. And for those of you that you went out of your way to do something fine, I say thanks so much, Brother Raphael, Sister Ife, Mr. Vivian, and much more. Thanks so much. I'm here to see Cardinals and scores and the rest. So I believe it's all awesome. Okay, please. So I'm giving you this call, sure. Don't be tired of the word anytime. Don't be tired of the word. Like, look forward to hearing the word. It's making you better. At times it looks like the progress of the word looks slower, but it's making you better. You will be better in ministry, you'll be better in your conduct, you'll be better in the gift of the Spirit, you'll be getting better in your love work. Your life will reflect more of the Christ that is already in you. That's why we give ourselves. So I want you to look forward to this. Try and look forward to it. Like, oh, your pastor is teaching. Look forward to it. Rush to it. Okay? Yes, I know you have a lot of cover-ups to do, but don't forget, everything is for you. Everything is for your cause. Everything is for your edification. Everything is for you to become better. Amen. Okay. Glory, glory. Please, I have not seen any response. I don't know if you can hear me clearly. That's why I'm waiting for nobody has talked. I don't know if you can hear me clearly. That's what I'm waiting for. I'm still trying to check why these microphones are lagging here. Java, you see, channel one. Okay, let me have faith that you are hearing me, although you are not responding. Okay, so the teaching ministry of Jesus, and this is part 7. So, hallelujah. So let's start right away. So, like I have taught you, never stick with a custom, neglecting the essence. Okay, and we have several customs, and let me use the word in Christianity in the churches of God. But don't forget, it's a taboo for you to stick with the culture. Neglecting the essence. Don't stick with a custom. Custom can be presented in different forms, but don't forget the essence. The essence is the key. That is why at times, if you're in a world church or etc, you must stick long enough to understand why we do things the way we do it. Don't judge too early. You must stick long enough. E.g., for instance, if the day we did love feast, if that was the only day maybe we came to church and perhaps you miss the messages, you may not really understand why we do love feast. You may only think that it's one of the different eating meetings, that one of the avenues for just also just eat and the rest. So you also stick around long enough for you to know why people do what they do. I hope you are getting me. You must stick in long enough to for you to understand why people act the way we why we do the things we do. It's not just for the sake of the ceremony. Why do we close our eyes to pray? Why do we do this? Why do we put this and that in place? In fact, why do you do it? If you just suddenly hear that there's a church that they even write exams, you say you kind of wonder that what is that? But you try and you must do your best to stick around long enough so that you can understand the essence. It's the essence that can bless, not the customs. Okay. Hallelujah. Let me first go on the spiritual on a spiritual plane today before I come back to what to the gospel. And just like what we call the gift of the Spirit, for instance, we can see that the intent is for edification. That is the intention, the purpose of this of spiritual gift is for edification. Like at times you just ask some people, why do you want to work miracles? It's for themselves, not because they really have compassion on the sick, not because they really want to showcase the power of God, but just for themselves, for their name, for popularity, for fame, for them to feel powerful. No. Once we operate outside the purpose, it will become a curse. It will become a taboo. It will become, a lot of things will set in. Perversions will set in. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Once we operate outside those perimeters, the labor is nothing. So you must know why we do things the way we do them. That's what I'm saying, in essence. You must understand the reason why things are done that way. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with tongues, with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, and becoming as a sounding cymbal or a tinkling brass, and though I have the gift of the prophecy and understand all mysteries, which I've understood, I've explained this text before, and that should be love and self, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can move mountains. Don't forget, he has moved the mountain already, and have no charity, I am nothing. He has not said that without love that the mountain will not move. No, but the intention, once you are doing all this without the intention of love, without the intention to edification, exhortation, and comfort, once you are doing this for yourself, love is just selflessness. What is love? Love is selflessness. That's all. If you can just understand selflessness, that is love. Putting someone else's priority before your own priority. That's love. So if you do all this without that intention, baby, Paul said you are nothing. Bible says you are nothing. See verse 3, and though I bestowed all my goods to feed the poor. You can see that giving to the poor is not love. That's why I've told people that they have just engaging themselves in NGO. That is not really love. Hallelujah. Praise God. At times some people are even doing NGO so that they can be called, philanthropics. So, and though I give my body to be burned and I have no charity, it profited me nothing. Hallelujah. So we must know the why of things. We must know why we are doing things. If we say we are doing healing outreach, why? If we are giving food, why? Hallelujah. So the man of God must be careful in this. You must know the why. You must know the why. Because before you know it, people have turned a custom to legalism. People have turned what ought to be for good to bad. We must know the why things are done the way they do. Are you with me today? I didn't know if you are getting me. You must know, understand the reason why people do the things the way they do. Therefore, I say this to you. Ordinances work for quick fixes of issues. Ordinances, what we call ordinances, yes, it works for, let me say, quick fixes, like just to fix something quickly. It works. But it's still that long teachings of the word that we must rely upon to change people's life. Hallelujah. We must rely on that long teaching of the word to change people's life. Like I was saying, before you know it, people will turn customs to, they will turn into legalism. Once you are just relying on them long enough, it will become tokens of condemnation. It will become the reason why things will go from bad to worse. So ordinances may work for quick fixes of issues, but it's still that long teaching of the word that we must rely upon to fix people's life, to change people's life. Hallelujah. You know that when I spoke about how God made us better, I said it is in twofold, if you remember. Thank God for IJ that said it on Sunday. I think Pastor Joe also repeated it on that awesome Sunday sermon. I said it's in twofold, by the giving of the Spirit and by the teachings of the Spirit. The giving of the Spirit makes us, gave us a new heart. That is the new heart. We are flexible. We are programmable. Then on that heart of flesh, in that new heart, we are now taught. We are now being taught of God. We are now being taught of God to become better. I believe you are getting me. We are now being taught of God. Glory to God. So by the giving of the Spirit and by the teachings of the same Spirit, which is the epistles and the teaching ministries that we have in the New Testament. That is how God makes us better. That is God's ultimate help for man. Please, we must not rely on customs for long. It will fail. It always fail. It will fail. It always fail. Custom may help for quick fixes, but even like you remember when Paul was speaking in that First Corinthians chapter 11. Say even he said, let me find it for you. That is First Corinthians chapter 11, and that should be the last verse. He said when he said, if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come together not unto condemnation. The last part now said, and the rest will I set in order when I come. That means this one is not even the perfect show of love. Say the rest will I set in order when I come. So we must rely on the word. You can't rely on customs for long to keep people in check. So when you read like 1 Corinthians 2:5, you deliver him to Satan, and 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and try and set people, some people to judge matters against matters, set them to judge you and mature in the church, and 1 Corinthians 7, don't marry for the sake of ministry, that you may not marry, you may choose not to marry for the sake of ministry, 1 Corinthians 9, yes, life of sacrifice, we have the right to do this and that, but we have chosen not to use the same right. You see 1 Corinthians 11, yes, cover yourself, uncover yourself to depict submission and authority. Also, the same 1 Corinthians 11 is together to showcase love amongst brethren. All these are just quick fixes. We cannot rely on them for long. For instance, okay, let me debunk some of those ideas for you. If we are saying ministry is sacrifice, well, do you know people like, do you know is Muslims too? They do a lot of sacrifice. I mean, like they live a lot of sacrificial life. What of Jehovah Witness? That will go from house to house with that their terrible bag, with those terrible customs of them, and saying that that is how they are preaching their own gospel. So sacrifice is not peculiar to Christianity. Go to Buddhism. Seriously, some people will stay in one position for I don't know for how many days, saying they are consecrating themselves to whoever. So sacrifice is not, is, yes, we know that there is no ministry without sacrifice, but we must understand why. Ministry is based on knowledge. Knowledge is priority. You must know why. Why are we coming to church praying every day? Some people also come to church praying every day, doing further than die. We must understand the reason why. The reason why is what we change people. For instance, okay, you saw in 1 Corinthians 7, 8, 9 that some people may choose not to marry for ministry. Okay, how has that helped the fathers and sisters in Catholic today? So that means that same custom, as he helped them today, are they now in ministry?
So customs are not a express way into the will of God. No. Hallelujah. You see, 1 Corinthians 11, don't cover your head, don't cover. How has that helped a lot of people in the same submission? In fact, in the same 1 Corinthians 11, shows how 1 Corinthians 11 failed them. That is about eating and not eating. Think about the court system too. That I talked about in 1 Corinthians 6 that, okay, you can even set them to judge in the midst of the church. All this may work for quick fixes, but we must still rely upon the Spirit of God for saints to grow up to maturity. Don't rely on customs. Let me say it again. Don't rely on customs. Don't rely on, okay, I'll put these measures in place for these things to be better. If you rely on it, let me just say this. Humanity is not meant to survive based on those things. Only God is the only resting place for man. Hallelujah. Iggy, let me just give you an example in the earthly parallel. Are you with me? Are you writing? Hope you are listening. Hope you are getting what I am saying today. Okay, let me give you an example in this parallel. Iggy, look at humanity, for instance. Look at how humanity has treated women for ages. Listen carefully. Look at how humanity has treated women for ages. Like, no doubt, women has been cheated, bastardized. Like, some have been sent packing in the middle of the night. Some have been sent packing. Some have been sent packing without opportunity of seeing their children again. Some have been sold to slavery. A lot of things I have not heard of a woman with 1,000 husbands before, but we have seen a man that tried to add 1,000 wives before at the expense of the individual woman's joy and satisfaction. All man. So we have seen humanity like I just don't understand why. Humanity has been so harsh on women for ages. Now, think about it. The legal system now came in to help the matter. They brought in laws, brought in more. Brought in laws, brought in societal laws and privileges to just ensure that the abuse of the woman does not continue. But at the end of the day, what are we seeing happening today? At the end of the day, the law that is brought in to help the woman is now being used by the woman to retaliate against the man. I was reading some days ago of a woman that sued the husband and took away $35 billion of his money. Like, sued away just a simple $35 billion, not naira. Just because, I'm not in marriage again, then you have to take part of your property. So with the same mouth that you used to say, I love you now, you now use the same mouth to testify that he must pay, he must be bankrupt. With the same mouth, we used to make a commitment. And also, in the same response, today, nowadays, you will hardly see billionaires, footballers getting married again. They refuse to marry. And some even when they marry, they answer, okay, before we marry, we have to sign this agreement. Is it prenup? What do you guys call it? Are you with me? So that law that is to come in to help marriages to be better, at the end of the day, it came in to make it worse. Now you start seeing men that will say, well, you now see people will not be signing agreements. Okay, you are entering this marriage for so number of years, or you be my baby mama, just give me two children and you go away, I'll pay you so. What is all that? Hallelujah. Please write it in your notes. Laws cannot help humanity for long. Only the Spirit and His teaching can help man. Write that in your note clearly. Please just get that today. Laws cannot help humanity for long. It cannot. So only the Spirit and the teachings by the same Spirit can. Hope you got that. Hope you got that. Okay, for instance, let me just say this for marriage. A lot of you are planning marriage. You are thinking of marriage. And most times, so sadly, when people think of marriage, all they are thinking about is the bliss, the attention, the comfort, now I have somebody to be talking to, now I have somebody to take care of me, now somebody that can tell all the issues of my life, now I have someone that can, what do I call it now? Now I have somebody that can help me and do this and that. That is all a lot of people think about. Well, that's not all about marriage. For instance, let me tell you this. In marriage, your words is yours to keep. I don't know if you usually remember those words that we share, those what the so-called marriage vows. Let me tell you, July is actually the most important part of the marriage, which is not necessarily what you said that day, which is what you have already proposed in your heart. Like I've told you, when the Bible says, for this cause that the man, that what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. I say, how did God join them together? That's the same thing you interpret with God's word, God's action. Let me say, man's actions and God's responsibility. You understand? That's the reason of God's word, God's action is simply man's actions but God's responsibility. So, that is really what we are explaining in that series, that things that man do, but at the end of the day, God takes the glory or God takes the blame. Are you with me? That at the end of the day, God takes the glory or God takes the blame, but things that man does. So, that's for this cause, what God has joined together. How did God join them together? Through their agreement, through their mutual words, through their mutual consent. That's how God joined together. So, and that's what you have to respect. Christians, we respect our words. So, I said, in marriage, write this down. You understand later. Your words is yours to keep. It is your own word that you are keeping in marriage. It's your own commitment you are keeping in marriage. You never said you will treat her well if she does well. That's not the agreement. You never said I will treat you well if you remain faithful. That's not your agreement in marriage. Are you with me? So why changing that words in the court of divorce? You once said I will be with you, come what may. In the court of the law, now say because of this, I'm no longer interested. You didn't offend the man, you offended yourself. You just went against your own words. Because you never said, in case you are fine, I will be fine. Hallelujah. So the words you said on the altar of joining together, why changing this is your, you are not, let me say it again, it's your words that you are counterfeiting. Hallelujah. So, like, this is what he's saying. This is what we said on the marriage, when we are making the marriage vow. Like, your promise, like, our promises are irrespective of the partner's honesty or dishonesty. Like, your promises, what you plan to do, your commitment is irrespective of the partner's honesty or dishonesty. So, you are to enter relationship with a commitment to make someone better. If you are not ready, don't just contribute to, don't just add more to the problem in society. Enter relationship with a commitment to make the other partner better. In relationship, what you are looking for is somebody to turn from a raw goal to a refined goal. That is what we do in relationship. We don't give up on people. Let me say, marriage is simply like a man or a woman that you want to say, I will never give up on you. I will never give up on making you better. I will never give up on ensuring that you serve the Lord, you seek the Lord, you fulfill His will. That is what we do. It's not what you now said, because she did this, he did that, it's over. That is you lack the understanding of the concept of love of God. So your promises are irrespective of the partner's honesty or dishonesty. If marriage is not that, I'm looking for somebody that will take care of me. Hallelujah. Please, these things, they look so simple. There are times some people just expect some very big and deep stuff. This is all it is. So it's not, there's no too much teaching on marriage in the Bible. It's love. Love. You want to love. I am committed to make someone better. I am committed to make your life better. And of course, how do I make you better if I'm not trying to be? That means I will make myself better too. That is why right now it's time to prepare. You prepare, you make yourself better. Better in the world, better in the things of God, better in the society, even in your finances, etc. Then I want to make someone better. As far as, as tricky as it seems, this goes to both the man and the woman. Yes, when they now come together, the man now spearheads the whole show. But even the woman, before marriage, you are not entering marriage as a useless woman being. When you have the opportunity to be better. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hope you understood that, everybody. Amen. Don't worry, if I have better words to teach you the same thing later, I will communicate the same to you. Amen, amen, amen. So, Matthew 15, verse 1. So, we saw the Pharisees trying to keep so much ordinances. Why neglecting the why? The reason why. They just left the reason. They left the reason why Moses could have said stuff like that. They just start going after the ordinances alone. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Okay, Matthew 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus the scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, verse 2, why do thy disciples transgress? Sorry, it's my... Okay, sorry, it's Ojuda that is saying, I'm just saying due to all that my voice is low. I believe it's no longer low. It should be high enough now. Abba, emoji. Okay, amen. So, Matthew 15, verse 1. Then came Jesus the Pharisees and scribes, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. I don't understand that. Verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? See, go to Matthew 12, verse 1. Different things. You just start enthroning things. You may say, imagine condemning somebody because he didn't wash hand before he eat bread. I don't get that. What if the hand is clean before? Matthew 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were an hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn. Verse 2. But the Pharisees saw it, and they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Maybe perhaps Moses gave them that law of the Sabbath so that they can concentrate and focus, so that they can know the Messiah at the end of the day. But they left the reason. They were stuck with the ordinance. Are you with me? Maybe one of the reasons why Moses also said, okay, you can divorce her, is maybe for people who usually beat their wife to death, because you cannot divorce, in quotes, you know, all those type of things. They now turn this to a reason to quickly go from lady to lady, from a reason to quickly get another lady. So there is always a reason why things are put in place. We must not neglect that reason. Now, go back to Matthew 5 now, verse 3. Matthew 5, verse 3. Please open your Bible. I have the same culture of church. Don't you all sit down and one share and you are listening to pastor? No, this is church teaching. That's why it will be uploaded. It's part of our normal teaching. Amen. It's attitude that makes us better. It's our attitude to the word. It's not basically where you are, where you are not. It's basically the attitude. Of course, physical contact improves the attitude. But I believe and trust God that you are doing better. Okay, Matthew 5:33. Again, you have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thy oath. 34. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is the Lord's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one ear white or black. But let your communication be what? Yes, yes, no, no, for whatsoever is more than this comment of evil. So all those their ways, he was correcting and exposing. You know, at times people just in a desperate attempt to prove yourself right or wrong, now start calling your manners of things to testify, swearing, all those stuffs. See verse 38 now. So you have heard. So all those their ways, he was correcting and exposing. Please don't forget. Don't forget what I've been saying. Matthew 5. This will come in handy when we get to Matthew 6. Matthew 5:38, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And like that, thou shalt not pity, a merciless Christianity. Are you with me? Thou shalt not pity, merciless Christianity. So, it's also sad. You know why people don't read this in their Bible? There are some churches today that if you really teach walking in love, they will just close down. The church will close down. That's the point. It will just close down. They will go home. Everybody will go home. See Matthew 5 now, 39. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Don't forget, don't forget 38. 38 says it's a tooth for a tooth. Are you with me? So now say, so someone has done something to you in return, show him mercy. So all those words used there, they are all figures of speech. Are you with me? So that somebody slap you on the right cheek, turn to him the other, is just a figure of speech. He's not saying you should stay there and die. Are you with me? He's just saying instead of somebody has done something to you, don't do this. Don't do the same back. That means show mercy for evil. Simple. Verse 40, it's not saying stay there and let them be slapping your face. Don't. That's why I told you that Jesus used figure of speech a lot to talk to them. Verse 40, if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy cloak, let him have your cloak also. It's to illustrate the same thing. Verse 41, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. So it's just saying have forbearance for people, like create a space for people in your heart, like create a space, create a, I don't know what I called it in last time, like create a canopy of love or something, create an allowance for love in your heart for people. So that means somebody has done something that is what a mile to you. In fact, that means in your heart already, have much more, forgive people more than they have done to you. That's the point. Forgive people in advance. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, some of us will say some people say some so very stupid thing. They say, I've forgiven, but I can never trust her again. I've forgiven him, but I can never trust him again. Just stupidity. Imagine if God, what if God forgave us and he said he will never trust us again? And that would be funny, right? Funny enough, we are all in ministry today based on trust. Why? We are once sinners. So we are once enemies. So he now reconciled us. He didn't say, I will never trust you again. He now gave us ministry. So why will you now say, I've forgiven somebody, I can never trust him again, I can never love him again, I can never reconcile, I can learn that from Pastor Nanka clearly. So he said, unrestored relationship, proofs of unforgiveness. Amen. Matthew 5:42 now, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that will borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Verse 43, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Imagine, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. So what have you done better? But I say unto you, you love your enemies, hallelujah, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despisefully use you and persecute you. Some of those instructions of 8:8:8, it was given to them because of the nature of the Canaan they are going to, which they will have to fight wars and the rest. But he's saying, but that is not the perfect intention of God. God is never saying, I'm taking them to God, never gave them any physical Canaan. I've told you, Canaan is integration. Canaan is a promise of Abraham, not a promise of God. It's how Abraham interpreted the promise of God. Try and understand that. So, yes. So, someone, I'm saying Matthew 5:44. So, when someone does evil, don't give him back evil. No, we don't do evil for evil. We show mercy instead. Mercy is real power. Please write that down. Mercy is real power. Mercy is real power. For instance, see, let me just tell you the truth. God's divinations is not always our divination. The way God defines things is mostly contrary to the way man defines things. For instance, righteousness in the sight of man is when you walk right, you do right. No. In man's dictionary, righteousness is when you do right. But in God's dictionary, righteousness is to be declared righteous. Righteousness is to be called righteous. Righteousness is who God calls us, not what we did or what we qualified for. So his dictionary is not our dictionary. Let me show you that Revelation 3 verse 17. Please open. Amen, amen. Revelation 3 verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not thou that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Imagine. Somebody is saying he's rich, he's prosperous. But God says, hey, guy, you don't know that you are very poor, you are miserable, you are wretched. That is the same thing, and that is the same story of people who are trusting in money for ministry. People are trusting in money and say, we are rich, we are big town, biggest church, biggest this, biggest that. That cannot be your boast. That's just the main point. Your boast can never be physical things. When you start making that your boast, you are miserable. You know, somebody was telling me just some moment to go on Facebook. Say, yes, we know we need God and His Spirit for ministry, but we also need money too. You are stupid. So that means we need God plus money. How does that sound in your mouth? God that created everything plus money. Hallelujah. When did money even come into the world? From the beginning, it was not there. So don't try and stay. Don't try and emphasize on duties. We must never rely on things for ministry. You must never rely on assets for ministry. You must never rely on popularity, fame, publicity, Facebook, life, everything. Everything, as we do that, we don't rely on them for ministry. We still trust the ministry of the word and prayers. So we use all those mediums to promote the ministry of the word and prayers. So we know what we are promoting. We promote not ourselves. We don't promote our own virtue. We don't promote our own, yes, see us. We are tech. Don't worry. If you think, if we are doing service in the most expensive hotel in the world today, maybe somebody give us free. and we are holding service there, prayer must not change. Prayer time must not change. Teaching must be there. We must do VG. It's important. That is what we change people. Are you with me? Praise God. We must know what we are relying upon. So when we are saying some people are drinking tea in church and everything, the issue is that all those things, they will not be saying special program, key allies, key features, tea party, key features, choreography, key features, Mr. Donjazi is coming to minister. You are relying on those things for ministry. That's the first place you got it wrong. Hallelujah. And also that's why I've taught you also to value people. Not to value people because of their possession, wealth, or status. Like, not to value people. Don't value people based on possession, wealth, and status. Even not only in church, even in society. Don't just always be thrilled by somebody that has big car, big money. Hallelujah. Physical wealth does not translate to riches before God. So, God's definition is not our definition. Hallelujah. Praise God. Physical wealth does not always translate to riches before God. So also, to God, like I'm back to Matthew right now, 5. Sorry, I wasn't close. To God, killing your enemy is not true power. True power is mercy and forgiveness. God's definition of power is not to kill. God's definition of power is to save. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably to Israel, and cry unto her that your warfare is over. For God has given her double mercy, double ransom for all iniquity. Judgment is not power before God. Destruction, fire. You want to understand God's power? You are reading Sodom and Gomorrah. You will never understand him. You want to understand God's power? You are reading how Pharaoh was drowned in the sea. You will never know God. You just be going in circles. You start romancing the devil in the name of God. Unfortunately for you, they are both spirits. Amen. So true power is mercy. True power is forgiveness. Amen. Say with me. Say true power is mercy and true power is forgiveness. Hallelujah. So Matthew 5 verse 45. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. See, let's combine 44 and 45. Love your enemy. That means what 44 says, love your enemy. 45 says that you may be the children of your Father in heaven. That means the Father in heaven loves his enemy. Do good to them that hate you. That means the Father in heaven does good to them that even hate him. Antichrist. People who are ferocious against the gospel of God's Son. He loves them. Hallelujah. People who persecute his ministers. He still loves them. Hallelujah. Elijah was saying, Israel was interceding to God against Israel. Say, yes, they have killed your prophets. Yes, they killed some. Yes, they have done this. Yes, they did. And God just said, well, I'm sorry for you. You're my servant, eh? But I have some others. Don't kill them. Finish. Please. I love them. That's God for us. Amen. When you remember the story of Jonah. When Jonah came back and when God, when he quote in the people that he ought to die, Nineveh, when they refused to die, he was upset. So most time, like I've told you, most time what we have is angry men of God, not angry God. And that's why we are teaching this now. So are the men of God on this timeline. We are the men of God there. I say, Stalpa, Akprakim, Brad Joshua, and others, so that you can show mercy, so that we can truly reflect God, so that we don't get angry when somebody refuses to accept your message. Larry, are you hearing me? So that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So he now says, this is what the Father, Heavenly Father, does. He couldn't, so that means he couldn't, and back to what I've said earlier, that means the Father could not have been telling you to put away a woman because she committed fornication. The Father could not have been saying that. I've treated that very well now. He says that verse is saying, whosoever put away his wife intending fornication. It's not saying that when somebody does something to you, put her away. Hallelujah. Praise God. And also, I'm closing gradually. Also, some people, their criteria for marriage is some very stupid reason. Very stupid. Very stupid on Christian reason. Have you understood the reason for marriage in Christianity right now? MOG. Here again, the first priority is not pleasure. The first priority is not I want to satisfy myself. The first priority is I want to make somebody better. This is Christianity. Cheng Bomi. The first priority is I want to make someone better. I want to improve someone's life. I want to help someone to be more consistent in ministry. I want to stick close to someone so that together we can team up as a mighty force for the Lord. That is the first priority. Hallelujah. So when you say, so when your search criteria for marriage is very stupid reason, some people now get it. How many have you done before? Who is active before? Are you okay? Anyway, I've told you anyway. I don't have such portfolio. I've told you very well. If you just go and love or get away, that's simple. Somebody say, can I marry somebody? I am this, she's not that, she's that. You go and love or get away. Simple. That's all the preacher has to tell you. I don't have plenty things to say. Love or go away. Don't come to me for such advice. Go and follow the idol of your heart. Or go and love. That's Bible. I remember one useless man on Facebook who says, I'm sorry, say a while ago, that yes, we need to ask for the history. Amen. That who is a lion before? Who is a sheep before? So we don't match lion and sheep. Such people are not okay. They are people causing problem for saints. Go and teach the lion to love. Or to go and remove his teeth. Or go and remove, I didn't know if his lion has on. I didn't think so. Teach him to love. We are not giving such tax. Hallelujah. Because the first priority is even to make that bad person better. Say, I'm looking for somebody say, compatible. You are not compatible. Are you even compatible with yourself? And you are not looking for somebody that's compatible with you. Hallelujah. Love is compatibility. Hallelujah. Write that down. Love is compatibility. Praise God. Let me not say more than that. Verse 46. For if you love them which love you, if you love them who are qualified, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do the same? But be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Hallelujah. He's talking to be perfect there. You can see he's talking about forgiveness, not about sinlessness. It's talking about forgiveness, not about sinlessness. It's talking about love. It's talking about forbearance. Hallelujah. Praise God. And for instance, you know when I taught you that, when he said, judge not and you shall not be judged. It means you too one day may fall short of the standard that you have set. Do you get that? When he said that, you judge not and you shall not be judged, it means you to one day you may actually fall short of that same standard you have set. So, to be perfect talks about our attitude towards others. Love, forgiveness, forbearance. Love, forgiveness, forbearance, understanding. Hallelujah. Look for an excuse to retain a friendship. Look for an excuse to make someone better. That's love. Love is not that he's always too qualified. Of course, you know, if you want to bring marriage in, you know that there are some grand rules that you don't go outside from. Since you are yet to go inside, you don't. I didn't say you say I want to make an unbeliever better. Therefore, you marry him. That is advanced stupidity. That is actually an idol in your heart, because the purpose of the unity is not just the one man. No, don't forget, the purpose of the unity is not just the one woman that you want to make better. The purpose will be to team up together for the work of the ministry. So by the time you now spend the first 20 years of your life making one man better, and before you are not ready to bless the world, you are what age? 62. Amen. So be perfect talks about our attitude towards others. Okay, love, forgiveness, forbearance. So and I implore you, start to practice this in your daily relationship. Amen. Let the world see Jesus in you. Show them such love that cannot be denied. Let the world see Jesus in you. Start to practice love, practice forgiveness, practice forbearance. Hallelujah. At times, look forward to people that won't offend you so you can forgive them. That's the point. Just at times, just expect it. Just expect it. People that will do something, and instead of just giving them fire for fire, you just smile. Amen, amen. Even see, when you show love to somebody and their response denies that you have showed them love, don't worry. Their conscience will not. Are you with me? That means when you show love to somebody and their actions, their response denies that this is love, denies the love you are showing them, don't worry. Their conscience will not deny you. In due time, you will reap. Amen? In due time, you will reap. So, what? So, don't forget, we love not so that we can be loved. We love because that is what we are taught of God to do, come what may. You are only taught of God to love. Your weapon, your response, your anger, everything is expressed in love. Hallelujah. When you are angry, how do you express it? In love. You love more. When you ought to be angry, you love more. When you ought to be upset, you love more. When you ought to put away, you love more. When you ought to state your own qualification, your own criteria, you love more. Hallelujah. This is what the love of God does to us. Glory to God. Amen. So don't forget what I've said today. I've talked about customs. A custom may help people for a while, but it does not really help for a long time. Amen. Praise God. If you've missed that, please go back to it and immediately we end and listen to it clearly. I think the audio will be available in the next few minutes after I stop this live stream. So don't forget, it's our birthright in God to love. It's our birthright to love. It's who we are. It's our makeup. You can see this clearly from the teaching ministry of Jesus. So he came to debunk all those hypocrisy. You know, hypocrisy is actually very terrible. All those people, pot calling kettle black. He came to debunk all those and say, hey, this is what your father does. Now do this one. Now do this one. Now do this one. This is the true love. You do this one. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, I give myself to love. Oh, I wish I can sing that IJ songs on Sunday. Okay, maybe tomorrow I will try and bring it up so that we can for our introduction. So don't forget, and that should be 10 or 9:30 tomorrow. Just look forward to live stream. Don't always expect me to say I have to wake you up. I have to give you 10 hours notice. Fall in love with the word. Anywhere you smell the word passing, just come there and listen. And we are blessed. Thank you, Father, because we have awesome relationships. Thank you because we work in love better. We are blessed in you to love the unlovable. We are blessed in you. We are blessed by your spirit. We are empowered to love. Hallelujah. We are empowered to love. Glory to God. Our relationships becomes better. We learn to conduct ourselves better. We learn to love more. We learn to extend the love you have shown to us, to others. Glory to God. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen, amen. Okay, thank you so much tonight. And sure you pray and have a good night rest. Thank you for everybody. All of you that joined late, I can see your name. So go and listen and make up your notes. And see you. We have